Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the Troutville Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, north out of Troutville, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is January 27, 2018, or it is Shabbat 11, 2021, I believe we'll start our second service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, I Believe in a Hill Called Mount Calvary. There are things as we have all this earth, sifting sand, that transcend all the reason of man. But the things that matter the most in this world, they can never be held in a hell high. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever they're called, and when time has seven days, the earth is no more, I shall paint their old rugged cross. I believe that the Yeshua who was slain on that cross has the power to change lives today. For his change, he completely a new life is mine. That's why by the cross I will stand. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost, in a time of 7 days, and earth is no more, I shall be that old rugged cross. I believe that this life with this great mystery, surely someday will come to an end. But faith will conquer the darkness and death, and will lead me as to my friend. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever they're called, and when time has 7 days, the earth is no more, I shall paint that old rugged cross. The Service of Yahweh in the Gathering Time, One Timely Greetings, number 46, Pitya Hotta, 1947. He gave this sermon. He says, we are to study the 49th chapter of Isaiah. This chapter points out the Service of Yahweh in the Gathering Time, their actual lineage, and their need for territorial expansion. We shall begin the study with the first three verses of Isaiah 49. Listen, O isles unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. For the Yahweh hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, and the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft, and his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Now, Isaiah, Yahweh has given him also the sacred name Israel, the way he gave it to Jacob. And he said, now, you're my servant, in whom I will be glorified. All right, so he said, the Spirit of Yahweh and the person of Israel through the prophet Isaiah declares that Israel was born for no other reason than to be Yahweh's servant, and urges that this fact must now be made known throughout the world, even unto the isles of the sea. Since Jacob himself was dead long before Isaiah the prophet wrote, the truth clearly stands out that the Spirit of Yahweh in this scripture speaks not personally to Jacob himself, but to his descendants, unto those unto whom this truth is made known, and who now bear the responsibility to broadcast it far and wide. So Isaiah is a descendant of Jacob. That's the reason why Yahweh called him, his name also Israel. All the descendants of Jacob that makes up the prophetic figure here are the descendants of Jacob directly, and they have the name of Israel as well. For the responsibility to broadcast it far and wide, plainly then, the people in whom the Yahweh is to be glorified, and who again bring Jacob to him, Isaiah 49, 3 and 5, are themselves too be made known internationally. They are those who finish the gospel work, the very last. To them the Yeshua, Yahweh, gives a mouth as sharp as a sword. These are to be his servants during the gathering of the people, the day in which the Yahweh is glorified. They're being hid, as it were, in his quiver, connotes that their coming into the limelight is to be a complete surprise to all. For the first time, the world is to learn that these servants of Yahweh are the tail end of Jacob's descendants, his hidden servants, those who are to gather his people even from the isles of the seas. Again, it is written, in the last solemn work, few great men will be engaged. They are self-sufficient, independent of the Yahweh, and he cannot use them. For the Yahweh has faithful servants in the shaking testing time, will be disclosed to you. There are precious ones now hidden who have not bowed the knee to Baal. They have not had the light which has been shining in a concentrated blaze upon you. But it may be under a rough and uninviting exterior that the pure brightness of a genuine character will be revealed. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 80. Isaiah 49, verse 4. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with Yahweh, and my work with my Elohim. Well, let's do it again. Yet surely the judgment is with the Yeshua, the Son, and my work is with my Father, Yahweh Elohim. At the outset of their labor, the results must be such as to bring almost a complete discouragement. They nevertheless know that they are appointed by Yahweh, and so they leave their judgment, their work and success with Him. Isaiah 49:5. And now saith Yahshua that formed me from, or the Yahweh, the Father, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. So this is Isaiah's job, and it's for these last days, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Yahweh, and my Elohim shall be my strength. So Isaiah saying, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Yahweh. For their encouragement, they are told that even though Israel be not gathered, he will, however, be gathered. Yet they shall be glorious in the eyes of the Yahweh, and the Yahweh Elohim shall be their strength, since they are now not at another time, but in the day this prophecy is fulfilled, called to bring Jacob to the Yahweh again. It shows that Jacob, the people of Yahweh, and their Jacobite state must have departed from the Yeshua, have departed from the Son. Now they must be brought back to Him by a mighty revival and reformation. And this is what Yahweh is calling upon us as the House of David today, prepare for this revival reformation here in 2018. He gave me a new commission this morning. He says, let your light so shine before men so that they can see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That's found in Matthew 5. I'll read it. This is going to be our ongoing theme. It's in Matthew 5:16. It said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. 1 Peter 2:12 also talks about that. 1 Peter 2:12, it says that having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify Yahweh in the day of the visitation. So it says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Yahshua's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of Yahweh, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as a servant of the Yahweh. That's in 1 Peter chapter 2, and just verse 16. Let's get back to our reading now. Isaiah 49:6, and he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. This is 144,000 here in the 12th hour, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. So this translates into the house of David receiving this commission from Isaiah. This is what this prophecy was made for back then, was to accomplish this work through the house of David, the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, and this is for the fulfillment here in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now. Now it says 2018 is the year that we start this revival and reformation. Isaiah 49:6. I just read it. I'll read it again. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light unto the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. You see that light to the Gentiles right there? Well, when I woke up this morning, he told me, he says, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That's in Matthew 5:16. So now here we have it in our study here as well. Vaviti Hala. He says, I will give thee for a light unto the Gentiles. So not only did we get... Well, we raised up for a light unto the house of Israel to raise up the 12 tribes of Jacob, but also for a light unto the Gentiles. This scripture had as its type the time when the apostles were finally instructed to preach the gospel unto the Gentiles as well as unto the Jews. Now, to raise up the tribes of Jacob is first to raise up the first fruits, 144,000. 12,000 out of each tribe of Israel, Revelation 7:3. Moreover, to be a light and salvation unto the ends of the earth means that these latter-day servants of Yahweh are to finish the gospel work, are to preach the gospel of the kingdom in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and thus bring the end, Matthew 24:14. It is our privilege, therefore, not only to bring the light of Yahweh unto the denomination, where the first fruits, 144,000, Revelation 14:4, of the great spiritual harvest are, but even to bring the same light to the second fruits, to the great multitude that are gathered out of all nations, a multitude which no man can number, Revelation 7:9. Those who are thus privileged are, as Yahweh himself testifies, the descendants of Jacob, the lost tribes of Israel who are now coming to the light. Okay, let your light so shine before men. Isaiah 49:7. thus saith Yeshua, the Redeemer of Israel, this is the Son, and His Holy One. All right, let's do that again. It says, Isaiah 49:7, thus saith Yeshua, the Redeemer of Israel, and His Holy One, unto Him whom man despises. So now, Isaiah was definitely despised in his day, to the point that they took him, and they sawed him between two logs. They hated him so bad. So it says, to him whom the nations abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of the Yahshua that is faithful, and the Yahweh, the Father. I guess that's where we're going to have to go with that. The Yahweh that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, which is Yahshua, and He shall choose thee. And who is this thee? Antitypical Isaiah. Antitypical Israel, the descendants of Jacob, to raise up the tribes of Jacob. This is who this thee is. Father and the Son and thee are the three that are being mentioned here in Isaiah 49:7. For the Yahshua is here seen to speak to a people whom men despise, to them whom the nation abhors, to servants of rulers, to laymen, not to denominationally recognized ministers. This servant of the Yahshua, the scripture makes clear, is despised and abhorred as much as was the Yahshua himself. So, Isaiah was despised. Well, and typical Isaiah will also be despised, just like Donald Trump is despised by the left wing liberal media and all of their followers. It says that the hate then that is heaped upon us by our later sin brethren must not be a discouragement to us, but rather a great encouragement. And why? Because the Spirit of Yahshua himself testified that we are the servants of Yahweh for this time, that He is to bless our work so much so that even kings shall see our rising, and princes also shall come and worship. Isaiah 49:8. Thus saith Yeshua, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of the visit of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. For the Yahweh heard us in the probationary time, a time in which we can be sealed and be preserved for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to inherit the desolate heritages, to restore all things. Isaiah 49:9, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourself, they shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. It matters not where Yahweh's people be, nor under what circumstances they may be placed. They shall nevertheless all hear his servant proclaiming the year of the final jubilee. And all are to be led out free. All are to share this great, ever-increasing spiritual feast. Isaiah 49:10-11. They shall not hunger, nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them, and I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. Now, why does he say he's going to make all of his mountains away? All the mountains that's on the edge of the desert there in the Negev desert, they have high springs in those mountains. They got a place of collection of water. When it rains there in the mountains, it fills up and then it runs down the mountains into the desert and goes into the Dead Sea there in the Negev Desert. Well, this is what he's talking about right here. He said, I will make all my mountains Well, he made that Mount Negev, he made that a watering place for the children of Israel back in 2014. It watered 24 miles of riverbed, clear to the Dead Sea. Been dried up for 2,000 years. For the Yahshua here guarantees that now in the gathering time there shall be no obstruction of any kind, that he is the master of the situation. Isaiah 49:12. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north, and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Yahweh's highway shall be filled and exalted, and a multitude gathered from the four corners of the earth shall safely walk therein. Isaiah 49:13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For Yahshua hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Not that the Yahshua will comfort his people, but that he has already comforted them. He has filled them with the truth. Isaiah 49:14. But Zion said, Yahshua hath forsaken me, and my Yahweh hath forgotten me. Before they are sealed, those who are to be the inhabitants of Zion, the 144,000, think Yahweh has forsaken them. Yahweh's answer to them, though, is this, Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Even though some, rather than praying for the reestablishing of Zion, are actually praying against it. Nevertheless, they too will soon find out that Yahweh is entirely for it. Isaiah 49:16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. From all natural appearances, it seems that Yahweh has forgotten Zion, the place of his earthly throne, that he has left his enemies to abuse his people, and to deface Zion's exalted hill. But the Yahweh himself assures that for Zion's sake and for her people's freedom was he nailed on the cross. Isaiah 49:17. The children shall make haste of thy destroyers, and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Zion's children shall be anxious to get to her, but her enemies, the sinners, will be driven away from her. Isaiah 49:18-19. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together, and come unto thee. As I live, saith the Yahweh, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee, as a bride doeth. For thy waste and thy desolate places, and the land of thy destruction, shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallow thee up shall be far away. For the word behold calls attention to a goodly number of precious souls already preparing to come. In them shall Yahweh's servants glory. Moreover, in spite of the great number of the unrepentant sinners that are to be taken away, the land shall even then be too narrow because of the great incoming multitude. Isaiah 49:20. The children which thou shalt have, after thou hast lost the other, shall say again in thine ears, the place is too straight for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. From this verse we gather that the children which Zion shall lose are those who refuse to be converted. Her loss, though, is to be replaced with a great number from all nations, and thus shall the land become too narrow. The verses that follow reaffirm this view. Isaiah 49:21-23. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, who hath begotten me these, seeing I have lost my children, and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro? And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where had they been? Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will lift up mine hand unto the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people. They shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Yahshua, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Though we may now be either hated or unknown, the day is coming when we shall be comforted. The great men of the earth shall then, so to speak, lick up the dust of our feet. Isaiah 49:24-25. It says, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith Yahweh, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. No power in the world shall any longer be able to hold Yahweh's people down in the dust. Isaiah 49:26. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, Yahweh, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Our enemies shall kill one another with as great zeal as if they had filled themselves with sweet wine. They said, then those that remain shall recognize that the Yahshua, the Mighty One of Jacob, is our Savior and Redeemer. Shall we therefore still sleep on, or shall we arise in the righteousness of Yahshua and get ready to meet the Yahshua and to be with him in his kingdom? Your opportunity and the time of your decision is now come and cannot be put off. You must take a firm and active stand with this layman's movement, and this the work of which is first for the church, then for the world. Okay, that's the end of number 46. Let's go right on into number 47. So Jacob's time of trouble, Judah and Israel going home. Well, this is what we're looking at right now. Text of address, June of 1947 by V.T. Hollow. We are now to continue the same subject which we have been studying from the book of Isaiah, but today we shall study it from the book of Jeremiah. To begin with, we shall notice that the first chapters of the book deal with ancient Judah and Israel, with their sins and stubbornness of heart, and with their resultant dispersion throughout the Gentile nation. For the 30th chapter, however, deals not with the scattering of ancient Judah and Israel, but with the gathering of Judah and Israel in our day. We shall now begin our study with the first three verses, Jeremiah 30:1-3. For the word that came to Jeremiah from the Yahweh, saying, thus speaketh the Yahweh Elohim of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Yahweh, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Yahweh, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave unto their fathers, and they shall possess it. Note that both Judah and Israel together have the promise of returning to their homeland. As this has never yet been realized, the prophecy is yet to be fulfilled. Jeremiah 30:46. And these are the words that the Yahweh spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith Yahweh, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman travailing, all faces are turned into paleness? The cause of the fear here forecast is fundamentally needless and unnecessary, declares the Yahweh. Jeremiah 30:7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. This is talking about the 144,000. that comes out of the Adventist Church. This is the time of Jacob's trouble. When they come out, that will mean that the time of Jacob's trouble is over. When they come out of the Adventist Church to stand with the Lamb on Mount Zion, Revelation 14:1-4. For the people that have come to this antitypical time of the trouble are returning to the homeland, are comforted. Apparently it is bad enough to fight now, but Yahweh encourages counsel. Yahweh's encouraging counsel is, fear not. Plainly the burden of this chapter is with the concerning of the antitypical returning unto the homeland. Though terrible the trouble may seem, yet the outcome of it is to be the same as in the type. Right now, we may not appreciate this study as we ought to, but the time is soon coming in which we will dig as fast and as hard for it as we would to get out from under an avalanche. Those who have but little faith in the word of Yahweh, though, the study will not do them much good. Now is the time to start cultivating the faith we need to have then. Jacob, our type, well knew that the Yahweh had directed his return from Padan-Aram unto the homeland. Yet he trembled when he heard that Esau, with 400 men, were on the way to meet him. Besides, he was led to wrestle with the angel all night long. He prevailed only because he would not let the angel go until he blessed him. The final result was that on the morrow, Esau, rather than destroying the whole company, very kindly greeted Jacob with a kiss and cordially invited him to return home. So when it all worked out itself out, Jacob plainly saw that there was no need at all to have ever feared. How encouraging that all these things happened unto them for ensample. And they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come, 1 Corinthians 10:11. That which happened unto Jacob is sure to happen unto us. And how comforting to know all this ahead of time. Now if never before we should see that where there is a type, there is also an antitype, and that where there is no type, there is no truth. Jeremiah 30, verse 8, for it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahshua the host, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. This verse plainly says that Yahweh is to free his people from the Gentile yoke, and that strangers, unconverted, shall no more trouble them. Jeremiah 30, verse 9. But they shall say, serve the Yahweh their Elohim, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. No longer shall the followers of the truth serve others, but they shall serve the Yahweh, and a king whom Yahweh himself shall provide. Jeremiah 30, verse 10. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith Yahweh. Neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. There is therefore no need of fear, but there is a need for faith in the promises of the Yahweh. Jeremiah 30, verse 11. For I am with thee, saith Yahweh, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee. Yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. The punishment dealt to Israel is their being scattered among the Gentiles, as amplified in the verses which follow. The time of freedom has nevertheless come, and for this, we should be glad and give glory, give Yahweh the glory. Jeremiah 30, verse 12 to 19. For thus saith Yahweh, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicine. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction, Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith Yahweh, because they call thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Thus saith Yahweh, Behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tent, and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city shall be built upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. It says, after having gone through their captivity, the people shall fully realize Yahweh's mercy and his wisdom to save them. They shall be happy forevermore, for he will multiply them in the land of their fathers, and there he will make them great. Jeremiah 30, verse 20. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregations shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. For the kingdom, the church purified and apart from the world, is to be as natural and as real as was the kingdom of ancient Israel, that there will be no sinners in it. Jeremiah 30, verse 21, 23. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engages his heart to approach unto me, saith Yahweh? And ye shall be my people, and I will be your Elohim. Behold, the whirlwind of Yahweh goeth forth with fury, a contending whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. Their nobles shall be of themselves, that is, this kingdom shall be self-governing under a theocracy. The word behold calls attention to something that can be seen, and therefore implies that the Yeshua's whirlwind is already doing its work. No wonder then that we are now having disturbance of all kinds and heavy loss of life and property throughout the earth. Jeremiah 30:24, the fierce anger of the Yeshua shall not return until he have done it, until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it. The very fact that these truths are now revealed, and also the fact that the things foretold by the scriptures are now taking place, plainly show that we are now living in the latter days, the days in which we must consider the cause of the evils which envelop the whole world, and make our calling and election sure. How thankful we are to be that Yahweh is feeding us with the meat in due season. Though people kill one another by the millions in order to free themselves from the yoke of some other nation, Moses freed ancient Israel without a casualty. We should now know that faith removes mountains, while doubt ruins nations. We should no longer be fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have written. Luke 24:25. Believe was Yeshua's motto, and it should be ours, too. No doubters will ever enter his kingdom. These things are written that ye might believe. John 20:31. There is but one sensible conclusion that you can come to, and that is to wholeheartedly accept and to comply with all the prophets, with all that the prophets have written, that no one divert your attention from this truth. Okay, that ends number 47. One timely greeting, number 48. We've got a new title here. Let's continue our study with V.T. Holliff here. July of 1947. And the name of this study is Yahweh's Certification to Resurrect, Purify, and Consolidate Judah and Israel. Okay, it says, this afternoon we are to study Jeremiah 31. It contains inspirations guaranteed for Yahweh's people to return unto the homeland. This chapter, you will recognize, contains prophecies for the latter days. Jeremiah 31:1. At the same time, saith Yahweh, will I be the Elohim of all the families of Israel. Let's do it again. At the same time, saith Yahshua, I will be the Elohim of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. This is Yahshua taking over as the father of all of these families of Israel. Okay, it says the phrase, at the same time, takes our thoughts back to Jeremiah 30:24, where it explains that the time is the latter days. Okay, the time is in the latter days, our time. Not long hence, therefore, our Elohim will be the Elohim of all, our Yahshua, our Savior, our Redeemer, will be the Yahweh of all the families of the Israel, the Yahweh of the whole church. He will be, in other words, he will be the minister over the whole church. Saint and sinner during the judgment, for the living will no longer be commingled. Here in the 12th parabolic hour, that's what we're in now. Jeremiah 31:2. Thus saith Yeshua, the people which were left of the sword, found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. See, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest, that's Jacob. Isaiah is also called Israel. Ezekiel, everybody, all your prophets are called Israel. They're the descendants of Jacob. They also got the name Israel. He says, the people who survive their captivity are to find grace in the lands of the Gentiles and the wilderness, away from the vineyard. The vineyard is the land of Israel. Since the promised land is in the vineyard, okay, Isaiah 5, then what would the wilderness be but the lands of the Gentiles? Yahweh's people will find this grace at the time that the Yahshua calls them to rest from their sojourning after judgment in the house of Yahweh. 1 Peter 4:17 takes place. Okay, so it says Jeremiah 31:3, the Yahshua hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with a loving kindness have I drawn thee. At the fulfillment of this prophecy, the people will realize that the Yeshua has really loved them, and that he draws them unto himself with a loving kindness. Jeremiah 31:4. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tablets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. For the Yahshua assures his people that though the Gentile nations have torn down their kingdom, he will restore it to them, and they shall again become a glorious and joyous nation. These promises imply that the people are not now adorned and happy. We may not fully realize this, but Elohim knows better than we do. Jeremiah 31:5. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall eat them as the common things. Most of the world thinks that as the 10 tribes, the kingdom of Israel, are lost among the Gentile nations, that their kingdom is forever gone. Yet Yahweh, who does according to his good pleasure, plainly declares that the faithful after their separation from the unfaithful shall be gathered out and brought back into the mountains of Samaria, and that they shall plant and eat the fruit of their planting as a common thing. Jeremiah 31:6. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Yahshua our Savior. For the future watchmen of the Mount Ephraim, rather than separating themselves from those of the Mount Zion, as they did anciently, shall gladly lead the laity back to Zion. No longer shall arise the question, why is it that our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship? John 4:20. Jeremiah 31:7. For thus saith Yahweh, sing with the gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Yahweh, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. The remnant of those who survived the judgment in the house of Yahweh. Yahweh's people now, while dwelling among the chief of the nation, are urged to proclaim this good tidings in their midst with the singing. gladness and praise, saying, O Yahshua, save thy people. For this truth is now the very present truth, and it is to be proclaimed and heeded. For the work and the prayer to this end is the message of the hour. Jeremiah 31:8, Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coast of the earth, and will with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together, a great company shall return thither. We need not fear, our efforts will not be fruitless. Yahweh's sincere people will hear and give heed unto the message of this day, and Yahshua will thus gather them from the four corners of the earth, be they blind or lame, be they women or children, they shall all return to the vineyard of the Yahshua. Jeremiah 31:9. They shall come with weeping and with supplications, but I lead them, I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Ephraim himself, inspiration says, was to become a multitude of nations. Genesis 48:19-20. Jeremiah 31:10. Hear the word of Yahweh, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For Yahweh is speaking, and who dare not take his word to heart? Who dare be indifferent and keep silent? In order for the nations to be able to say, He that scattered Israel will gather them and keep them, they must be nations that believe, nations that understand these prophecies and promises. They are to do what we are doing. But since there is no nation doing this at the present time, and since we are the only ones that are engaged in this work, the truth becomes evident that our message is to awaken nations to the fact that we, the last descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel, are called forth to declare this truth not only unto all our brethren, but even unto the nations. Then the nations are to be rebroadcast it to other nations, so declares the scriptures. They are to proclaim that Yahweh's people are to be gathered and kept too. We therefore must not fail in our trust. We must prove worthy of our calling. Jeremiah 31:11. For the Yahshua hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. We are not able to redeem ourselves, nor are we able of ourselves to return unto our land. Yahweh is to accomplish all this for us. We ought therefore to be thankful that our freedom and redemption do not depend upon ourselves. The responsibility is Yahweh's. He is to redeem us from him that is stronger than we. Jeremiah 31:12-14. Therefore they shall come and sing in the heights of the Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Yahshua, for wheat and for wine and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and I will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow, and will satiate the soul of the priest with the fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Yahshua. These verses, I am sure, need no interpretation or elucidation. Jeremiah 31:15-16. Thus saith the Yahshua, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children and refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus saith Yahshua, refrain thy voice from weeping and thy eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith Yahshua, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. For the understanding of these events, we must first look into the historical background of them. Rachel, the wife of Jacob, had but two sons of her own, Joseph and Benjamin. They were the only sons that were born to Jacob in the promised land. Rachel died while giving birth to Benjamin, and so she herself could not have wept for the loss of her children. They were both with her when she died. Hence, the only conclusion one can come to is that Rachel in this scripture is figurative. After death of Solomon, the kingdom was divided, the 10 tribes taking the north and the 2 tribes taking the south. The tribe of Joseph was in the one kingdom and the tribe of Benjamin in the other. Rachel, therefore, must be the fugitive mother of the children of both kingdoms, Judah and Israel. The incidents of her Jeremiah 31:15, Matthew applies to Herod's killing the children in an attempt to slay the Yeshua, Matthew 2:18. A study of this verse along with the entire context of the chapter, however, will disclose that it has an even more direct application to the dispersion of both kingdoms, Judah and Israel. And then they returned from the lands of their enemies unto the fatherland, Jeremiah 31:17-18. And there is hope in thine end, saith Yeshua, that thy children shall come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Yeshua, my Savior. 2 distinct thoughts are brought to view in this verse. First, that the children of the kingdom will come again to their own border, and second, that they will have beforehand experienced a great revival and reformation. There's that revival reformation that we have to have this year. They will have, 2018, they will have realized that Elohim's chastisement was for their own good, and that Yeshua is their Savior. This reformation, along with Yahweh's mercies, is further seen in the following verses, Jeremiah 31:19-20. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh, I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith Yahweh. The next verse contains Yahweh's command and counsel unto his people, Jeremiah 31:21. Sit thee up the waymarks. Make thee high heaps, sit thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest, turn again. O virgin of Israel, turn again unto these thy cities. Inspiration here very definitely urges Yahweh's faithful people to get ready for their return to the promised land and continue. Jeremiah 31:22. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Yahweh hath created a new thing in the earth, a woman shall compass a man. And if it is not possible for a woman actually to encompass a man, the woman here is spoken of must be, therefore be symbolical of the church, and the man whom she is to encompass is, according unto the inspiration, the Yeshua himself. The church, therefore, is to be made to encompass the Yeshua and thus enter into her new and happy experience. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith Yeshua, and many nations shall be joined to the Yeshua in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Yeshua of the host has sent me unto thee, and the Yeshua shall inherit Judah his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Okay, be silent, O all flesh, before the Yeshua, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Zechariah 2:10-13. Okay, let's say Jeremiah 31:23-24. Thus saith Yeshua the host, the king of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof. When I shall bring again their captivity, the Yeshua bless thee, O habitation of justice and mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself and in all the cities there herd together, husbandmen, and they that go forth with flocks. Again and again we are told at the kingdom of the Yeshua, the church purified, free of terrors, is not something mystical, but that it is absolutely real. Jeremiah 31:25-26. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awake and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. Evidently, the prophet's awakening must point to the people's spiritual awakening, and the sweetness of his sleep must point to the people's love to continue in their slumber and sleep, their hesitation to awake unto these realities. Jeremiah 31:27. Behold, the days come, saith Yeshua, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of the beast. After this kingdom is established in the land of the promise, it shall grow with both man and beast, just as the symbolism of Daniel's chapter 2 explains. The stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Daniel 2:35. This is who we are with this church. Little stone representing the house of David, tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, and that's in charge of the 12 tribes of Israel. In the days of these kings, not after their days, shall the Elohim of heaven set up a kingdom, and it, the kingdom, shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, Daniel 2:44. How will they multiply and fill the earth? Let Isaiah the prophet give the answer. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Yahshua's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it, and many people shall go and say, Come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the house of Yahweh of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of Yahshua from Jerusalem. Isaiah 2:2-3. Jeremiah 31:28. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith Yeshua. From these passages of Scripture we see how the Yeshua will build and increase the kingdom and cause it to fill the earth. Jeremiah 31:29-30. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. That every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. For the ancient kingdom was torn up because of the sins of those who led and ruled the nation. And so all, good and bad alike, suffered. One of the good persons who suffered for the sins of the bad was Daniel. And thus has it ever been. But now we are coming to the day when everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Michael shall stand up, and everyone that shall be found written in the book shall be delivered. Daniel 12:1. Jeremiah 31:31-33. Behold, the days come, saith Yeshua, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith Yeshua. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yeshua. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. This new covenant, you see, is to go into effect in the gathering time. Then shall all Yahweh's people know the difference between good and evil. Thus shall they know what is Yeshua's will and way, and thus shall they be able to perform the good and to shun the evil. They shall naturally and gladly incline to do good, just as they now incline to do evil. For the Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, was a very great king. He ruled a great kingdom and lived in a wonderful palace. But as soon as his human heart was taken away from him and the heart of a beast put in him, just as soon his own desires and ways left him, and the desires and ways of a beast entered him. See in Daniel 4:16. So with Elohim's people, just as soon as he puts his law in their inward parts and writes it in their hearts, just as soon the carnal heart's desire and enmity against Yahweh's law will disappear. No longer will Elohim's people need to say, when we want to do good, evil is present. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Romans 7:24. Jeremiah 31:34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Yahshua, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yahshua, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Note that the sinners and those who are ignorant of Yahweh's shall no longer be among Yahweh's people. Certainly a change is coming, for the present state of the affairs will not long continue. The sinners will be put away forever, and how glad we ought to be that if we now repent, our sins will be forgiven and forgotten, and that no one will ever remind us of them. Jeremiah 31:35-36. Thus saith Yahshua, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon, and of the stars for a light by the night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, for the Yahshua the host is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yahshua, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Here is the Yahweh's bona fide guarantee against doubt and unbelief. As certainly as the doubters cannot change the ordinances of the heavens, just as certainly shall Yahweh's people once again become a theocratic nation. Jeremiah 31:37-40. Thus saith Yahshua, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundation of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yahshua. Behold, the days come, saith Yahshua, that the city shall be built to the Yahweh from the tower of Hananel unto the gate of the corner, and the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill Gerb, and shall compass about to Goath, and the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes, and all the fields unto the brook of Kidron, unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy unto the Yahshua. It shall not be plucked up nor thrown down any more forever. End of our study. This hour, contact us at 11th hour call. We're going to close now with a song. Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages. Not from me, let me hide myself in thee, that the water and the blood from the wounded side be slow. You send a double cure, take from right and make me pure. With my tears forever flow, with my zeal no languor know. These for sin did not atone, now I'm a safe and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to cross our clean. I draw this clean breath, and my heart circles in death. When I've lost two worlds unknown, and behold beyond my throne, Rock of Ages, lift o'er me. Let me hide myself in thee.